It's Wrecking Ball Radio. This is Stavin's Den.
Back, you were listening to the pandemic edition of Davin's Den, probably one of many. I am your host, Davin. I am in the den. Joe is in his beach bunker in Long Island.
That's correct.
Pip is under a virus, a virus protecting horde. She's under a horde that will protect her from the virus because Pip is underneath such a horde that there are old things and this virus has never seen before. So it's keeping it away. So
it's just distracting them from getting at me.
Yes. So we're doing our first version of this on Facebook Live. Once this all ends and Joe and Pip are in studio, we probably will not do this anymore because Pip uses my computer. But but we're doing it now. And it's fun, and we got some folks hanging out. All sorts of people stopping by. I want to say hello to Sean and Tom and Lori. The parent, you know, they're having a lot of fun in there. So we're going to keep this rolling on. We invite all you guys to listen. We do appreciate it. Thank you guys for spending your Tuesday night with us. Because really, what else would you be doing? There's no sports on. There's no sports on. And really, what? And what are you going to do? Listen to them announce more people getting sick? Listen to them announce more things you can't do? There's nothing to do. You're better off with us. You are better off with us. I'll tell you this. We are better than a pandemic. I stand by that. Good. Okay, thanks, guys.
I stand by that.
Thank you.
Second, I third the measure.
Yeah, you guys are quite the crew. Aren't I blessed? All right, let's do, what the hell is it? Some School of Fools. That's what we'll do right now.
Bring around the rosy. Pocket full of posies, ashes, ashes, we all fall down.
Shame, shame, shame.
School of Fools.
All right, here we go. School of Fools. We have a lot of these. Not this particular story, but just bad things happen in schools. So Alicia Hobson's 11-year-old daughter, Aslyn, was counting down the days until Valentine's Day dance at her Utah middle school. She was so excited she could barely sleep. Maybe she had what I had. That could be why she couldn't sleep. Hobson told Today parents nothing that the sixth grader picked out her outfit a week ahead of time. It was supposed to be the best day ever. But it wasn't. That afternoon, when Aslyn got home, she had an emotional explosion in the kitchen while recounting how a boy who makes her uncomfortable had asked her to dance. She politely said, "No, thank you," Hobson revealed. The problem at Rich Middle School in Lake Town. Rich Middle School. What a pompous name that is. Rich Middle School.
It really is.
And the poor middle school is across the tracks. You don't go there. Thank you, Pip. Rich Middle School in Lake Town, Utah. It's against the rules to say no, and Principal Kip Mata allegedly intervened when he heard Aslyn decline the invitation at the dance. He said something like, "No, no, you kids go out and dance. Go on, go on," Hobson revealed. He basically shooed Aslyn and the boy off onto the dance floor. Aslyn told her mother she hated every minute and was so relieved when the song finally ended. It was Stairway to Heaven. It was quite long. No, I don't know if that's true. Mata and Rich School District Superintendent Dale Lamborn did not immediately respond to emails seeking comment, but Mata stood by the school's policy in a letter to Hobson. "We do ask all students to dance. It's a nice thing to do, and this will continue to be our policy. There have been similar situations in the past where some students have felt uncomfortable with others, and as stated prior, the issues were discreetly handled. This allowed all students to feel welcome, comfortable, safe, and included." I got to say, I don't like this policy.
I don't like it either. It's very, you know, basically, it's telling young women that if somebody asks you to dance, you have to dance. They have the option to say no. It should always be that way. What they're afraid of is rejection. And as I wrote in the blog this week, as a compendium for this story, is that you're going to be rejected in life, but you need to learn at a young age that you're going to be rejected. If somebody says, going to be somebody you have feelings for that doesn't have feelings for you, even though you give them a watch, you know, but nonetheless, you know, and you move on, you know.
Those who listen often pay attention. Got a little nugget from Joe right there.
Learn to deal with it or getting less expensive gifts.
You know what else I'm learning? You know what else I'm learning from that little comment? Joe's girl's not in the chat. That's what I learned from that. Because there's no way Joe makes that joke if Joe's girl's in the chat. Oh, I didn't even think about that. We'll have to talk about that. That's going to be delicious. It's going to be a dry period.
but no, you know, it's part of rejection. And, you know, they're afraid of the kids being rejected. But that you need to learn that at a young life and realize that, you know, people are not necessarily going to have the same, you know, feelings that you have for them. It doesn't make you a bad person. There'll be somebody out there, but, you know, but forcing a woman or a young girl to make a choice that she doesn't, you know, that she doesn't want to make or dance with, that's wrong. And the school is out of line with this.
Pip?
Thank you, Joe.
You're welcome.
Absolutely. This is, you know, not to over abuse a term that's out there, but this is part of rape culture. Women are not allowed to say no. Are you out of your goddamn minds?
Also, remember, listen, it could be a boy, too, who doesn't want to dance. A girl could ask a boy. So let's just not make it girls. Anybody should have the option to say no.
That's right. But it's like you're supposed to teach these kids that they do have autonomy over what they want to do and that they're allowed to say no. And what they should be teaching instead, like Joe, you know, pointed to, you have to learn about rejection. And, you know, maybe this would be a good teaching model before the dance to talk about a decent way to let somebody down gently. And another thing is how to take rejection without, like, you know, turning into some kind of monster.
I always tell people to say, ew, gross. No, I find that does a good job.
Well, that's how you've always handled me.
Yes, and yet you keep coming back, so I might need to do more. This social distancing couldn't come at a better time.
Yeah, I really don't understand that word you keep using. It starts with
no. No. That's why I'll try anti-social distancing. Get the fuck away! That'll be nicer. Listen, I think rejection at this age period that we're talking about is actually harder than just telling the kid to dance. I think at this age period, rejection is actually harder. That being said, these are the building blocks, what you learn from. So you have to deal with the rejection. It's crushing. I would imagine. I did not have the balls enough to ask anybody to dance. But I would imagine it would be quite crushing to get rejected at that age.
Well, that's funny. It's funny what you say on there, that you didn't have the balls to ask somebody to dance because you were afraid of that rejection.
I was.
And the funny thing is, isn't it interesting? And both you and I mean, we're stand-up comics. We had to go up and start with barely five minutes of material and worked, and we did it. And believe me, there was a girl, there was the first girl I ever fell in love with in high school. And if I go to a high school reunion, you know, that, and she's there, I, you know, this was going back 10 years ago, I'd be like, I'm gonna, you know, I'm on stage in front of 2,000 people. All I care is if there's Doritos on the way home, you know. Meanwhile, this girl, I still get that feeling that I had when I was in junior high, you know, so
because,
that goes away.
Because this is somebody you like, and you are attracted to, even in the sixth grade, and no means gross, ew, never, yuck. That's what it means. It's not really what it means, but that's how you interpret it. So I feel the policy came from a good place, but now with it, when parents are complaining, that should make you reevaluate. Go, you know what? We got to look at this again. I see what they're saying. We can't have this hard and fast rule where you got to go out and dance. People should have the right to say no. You're an individual.
Yeah.
You don't have to do stuff you don't want to do.
Yeah,
right.
Exactly.
Well, also, it's kind of getting involved in their personal lives. I mean, it's not gym class, like, do you want to play volleyball? Dancing at a dance is sort of like, this is now your, like, the beginning of your dating life. That you can't tell me who I have to do this with.
All right, it's a dance. They're not giving you away with a goat. Relax. It's a dance. It's not your dating
life.
Yeah,
but still, it's an invasion of your personal space. Now, Pip brought up, if you have to, you know, you have to play on a volleyball team or something like that, you know, with somebody, you know, you're playing volleyball, your distance is not close. It's not that personal 2 feet away space. If you're dancing with somebody, it is. And it's very, you know, and it's like, if we're at a show and somebody, you know, during the meet and greet, somebody comes up and comes a little closer to you than you really want, you know, you get kind of freaked out. And it's the same thing, you know, as if you're, you know, you're a kid. You know, it's that personal space.
What was the, I think the first time I had the balls to ask somebody out and get rejected was probably college. That was probably the first. So I still remember it. So it still made an impact, I guess. Were you guys youngsters?
Yeah, getting rejected hurts.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't a bad rejection. I was just like, hey, you want to go out and do something? No. Well, how about you trying this? No. Okay, then I'm going to go back to my seat. And
I've been shot down more than a freaking fighter pilot. You know, it's been you know, but you gotta, you know, if there's somebody out there that you feel, you know, that you really care, you always give it the shot. You know.
Well, you don't really care. At that point, you just want to get in their pants or get to know them. Yeah. Excuse me, get to know them. I'd like to know you better. What do you think? No, your pants.
You wanted to get to know the inside of their pants.
I do. No, I mean, were you rejected at an early age besides by your parents?
No, oh, God.
I almost let that slide. I was. As a matter of fact, my prom. I didn't have any interest whatsoever in going to prom until my best friend was going to go. Once she got asked, I'm like, oh, shit, I guess I should do this. And so there was this boy that I liked. He was friendly towards me, but he never showed any, like, real interest, you know. But I thought, well, you know, nothing ventured, nothing gained. And I asked him if he wanted to go to the prom with me. And he said that he wasn't dating anybody, but he said, oh, I already said yes to somebody, so I'm sorry. And they were just friends, too. But I was like, oh, ouch. You know, even though he had a perfectly good reason and he was very kind about it, it's still smart.
Yeah, and it never gets old. It never fucking gets old.
See? We all should have gone to Rich Middle School.
Yeah.
Yeah, we should have. Our love life was enforced.
I just did not have the guts. That's why I did not get rejected more. I knew in the 7th grade and 6th grade, I was quite homely. I was quite aware.
Yeah.
You know, I knew it. I was fat. I knew I was fat. I didn't know everything else that was wrong with me, but I knew I was fat. And I knew that at that age and that time, that was not a good thing. So.
it was not good for girls either, trust.
Yeah. But I tell you what, I didn't want to date a fat girl.
I didn't.
I'm being honest. Trust me, they didn't want to date me. It's not like I was beating off fat girls, throwing Pillsbury Doughboys, and running away. You know, here's a croissant, and I slowly made a run for it because I sliced slowly because I was fat. You know, I was wheezing and everything. No, I, you know, not like they didn't want to date me, but like, but I had the eye. I had the eye for like the popular girls, but they did not have the eye for me. That's okay.
Well, that's awesome. Yeah.
What?
That's always the way, though, is that, you know, and this goes back to the this is time for people to learn to take rejection well, because there's always that guy that is like, you know, like pimply neck beard kind of living in the basement. And
hey,
you know,
hey, I'm right here.
Hysterical. And we can see you, too.
I know. She's like, wow. It's like, wow. It's like she's seeing right through me. And she is.
But I'm not talking about you at all. No. I'm talking about somebody's not really very attractive conventionally, and then they're, you know, watching. Well, there are people that are not conventionally attractive, but they still, like, they have something that, you know, is alluring.
You know one of those people, apparently? Lyle Lovett. How did he get Julia Roberts? I mean, really. Not that I'm a huge Julia Roberts fan, but look at him. He looks like a really skinny troll doll. I mean, come on.
Oh, he's an ugly motherfucker, that guy.
Sure, Joe, do not reject. That's not nice.
He's a good example, though. You know, somebody that could pull in somebody that is conventionally attractive. But what I'm saying is that guy that just really does not have a lot going on physically. And that's always the guy that's, like, looking at comic books and going, I want to go out with Wonder Woman. He's not looking at the fat chick next door. I mean, it's like if there was ever a lid for a pot, but people do not work that way.
No, I think eventually people find their own level. But, yeah.
I tell you, though, that girl that I like, she was the first girl I ever fell in love with. I don't know if we're having a high school reunion this year because it's been my 40th, but I told myself I will go up to her and I go, look, not for nothing. I just want to say, because we could be dead by this time in 10 years, I just want to let you know, you're the woman that I took a look at and threw my G.I. Joe dolls away. They're not for nothing, you know? And I'm like, I'm not going to leave it at that. I'm not going to do anything, you know?
I'm sure her husband will appreciate the sentiment.
Yeah. Yeah, I would even tell her, okay, husband, I'm not trying to play. But I go,
I'm going to go back to my G.I. Joe dolls.
Back to my G.I. Joe, yeah, right. I should bring a G.I. Joe doll with it. I go, yeah, well, what are you going to do?
Joe, how come there's nobody at your table? There was no room for them in G.I. Joe.
But I'll tell you a story. When I did the last reunion, they wrote that if anybody had anything going on, because the reunion was Saturday night, if anybody has anything going on Friday night, let us know, and we'll get a bunch of people from the class to come down and see. I immediately called Governors, got Trusen on the phone, and I said, John, I need a big favor. And he goes, Mr. Curry, you're a pathetic case. All right, you're in the show. So I told, and a bunch of people came down, and I got to the reunion the next day later, and I walked into people, he was so funny last night. And that girl actually came up to me and goes, oh, you're a comic? Oh, that's wonderful.
That was the time, stupid.
I didn't. And the funny thing is that, Gavin, no matter whatever we chase, but how hard we push for our goals in comedy, the gay, oh, I go, everything we canceled going into the city being comic number 97 in a horrible show was worth it for her to tell me that.
Well, you've peaked. Yes. You've peaked.
Yeah.
It's a good thing all the clubs will be out of business by the time this virus ends. You have nothing more to accomplish.
Yeah. Yeah, right.
I know. Joe just said we could be dead in 10 years. No. Shoot, we could be dead in 45 days.
I know. Joe's being very optimistic.
Very.
Yeah, I mean, listen, rejection's tough. That's why I really advise you, youngsters, if you're listening, be me. Avoid it altogether. Just avoid it. Don't even ask. You know, you
don't even try.
No, don't even try. Don't fly too close to the sun. Run slowly on the ground. Walk slowly on the ground. Don't fly to the sun. Walk slowly on the ground. You don't get burned that way.
I was terrified by that. You know, I'd go out to the bars and stuff like that. And I'm very shy, you know.
So am I.
I'm making conversation. The only time, you know, it's funny because like on a Friday or Saturday night, you get dressed up as dressed up to the nines, go out to the, you know, the dance club or whatever. Nothing. I'd come home. I would go to on a Wednesday night dressed in my fence work clothes and wind up hanging out as a girl down there, wind up, you know, meeting a girl. You know, there's no rhyme or reason. But I was terrified of that shit.
Well, that's because because your nines were fives. That's the problem.
Yeah.
Joe.
But and I'm not good at small talk. What happens is when you know, as a comic, you start to make jokes and stuff like that. Some people like it. Some people, oh, this guy's not serious. He's always goofing around. Fuck you.
I'm terrible at small talk. The only way I could really talk to a woman now is if I thought she was an African scammer. That would be the only way I could talk to a woman.
Oh, very, yeah, very good. Yeah. Very good.
Because the real ones, no, I can't do it. I've said it many times. The first girl who I ever made, you know, overtly made contact with at a dance club, and I was at plenty of them because my friend wanted to go all the time, was my wife. I told her to smile. She listened. We started dancing. That was the fucking end. I'm like, this isn't going to happen again. We should stop now.
I stopped looking.
The girl that I dated for about 3 years before I met Joanne, We met at this place called Chevy's, big dance club on the island. And she used to always say, I go, so were you attracted to me? Yeah. She goes, I don't think so. You were more interested in watching the Flintstones that were at the screen on the bar. And I go, nonetheless, yeah.
Well, I mean, she didn't understand that you were a huge fan of the Big Kazoo.
Yeah, right. Roadup.
No, he was totally into Betty and not paying any attention to this broad.
You know, not for nothing, Betty was the better looking one.
Yes, she was.
I mean, really, let's be honest. How are Barney and Fred pulling either one of those? I mean, those guys are those ladies are size zero, and you know, Barney's like 4'7", 250. You know, Fred's a big fat guy who's got bad manners and everything. I mean, really, let's be realistic. The Flintstones, it's not realistic.
He's got that big caveman cock.
They all have big caveman cocks, dude. But it was the time.
They could have found that someplace else.
No, but the women aren't impressed. No, they can get big caveman cock from Mr. Slate. It doesn't matter.
Everything came big those days. If you could get Bronto burgers, you could certainly find somebody swinging a big bat.
You know, that's a really good question.
Yeah, everything was big in them days.
You know what's weird?
The club.
You know what's weird? Every dinosaur I think we've ever seen in any of these movies, they must have been females. You never see dino balls.
No, I think
they don't want to show anything on that scale because it would scare the children.
Right, but you never see a dino cock, dino balls. They always show us females. That shit must have been huge. Can you imagine being a T-Rex hung like a macaroni? You can't be. You got to be huge.
Yeah, and think of it this way: when you see a dinosaur, it doesn't like you. What happens if you do meet a male dinosaur and he does?
Well, I mean, if he's got a good job, you know, I'm interested.
You'll put up with that.
And I'm not allowed to say no, so I guess I'll give him a dance.
You and the dinosaur decide to retire down to South Beach. You see, there's a dinosaur walking around with a Hawaiian shirt and a big cock.
Well, I really feel no matter what he's wearing, he would have the big cock, Joe. I really.
Yeah. What's the dinosaur's name? Rex? No, his name is actually Maurice.
Rex, it's what he did to my ass last night. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Okay. All right. Shall we do some Bitches Be Crazy?
Yep.
Pip, you ready? I'm going to play the music. You ready? Pip? Joe, you there?
Yeah, I'm there.
She's not. You there, Pip? For fuck's sake. Wouldn't it be... what the hell? They feel important. They may get a huge boner. Can you lower the screen a bit, just a tad?
Now I got to do everything. All right, All right, let's call her back. Let's see if I can keep you on the phone and call her back. All right. Hold on, that's her. You there? Hello? Hello? Please stand by. Assholes are working. Are you there? Hello? All right, hold on. All right, you're there, right, Pip? All right, let me see if I can get Joe. Hold on. Joe, are you there? God damn it. All right, I got to call you both back, all right? Oh, wait, you are there. Pip, are you there? Oh, god damn it. Both of you hang up. Hang up. Hang up the phone, all right? Please stand by. All right, hold on. I gotta call her now. I gotta find her number. This is awkward. Dun, 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 dun. Hold on. All right, hold on. Is everybody here?
Yep.
Joe?
Yeah.
All right. That is some high-tech shit right there, kids.
Yeah, boy.
Sorry about that. My phone just hung up on its own.
Oh, my goodness.
Maybe it got bored of the show.
If I can't leave, it can't leave.
Yeah. He was afraid of the dino cock.
All right, let's do some Bitches Be Crazy. I'll play the theme.
All right.
Bitches be crazy. 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 Bitches be crazy.
All right, Pip, you have the floor.
So, Brett Gardner of the Yankees has recently had to file a restraining order against an obsessed fan. And as the story goes, he's reportedly asked a Bronx judge to keep a crazed fan who calls herself the baseball player's future wife away from him and his family. An attorney for Gardner filed an order of protection against Gina Devastayam. Oh, boy.
See, it's fun playing with names.
I know. It's tough.
Devastayam, I think. Devastayam.
All right. I'm going with that.
Sure.
Last week in Bronx civil court, according to NJ.com, which reported Monday that the Yankees want her banned from all Major League Baseball parks, Devastayam, which we're sticking with, who says she's the founder of an anti-aging biotechnology company, sued Gardner, the Yankees, and Major League Baseball last year after she was booted out of Yankee Stadium during a playoff game in October. She said, "I request the court to grant me access to the stadium in accordance with MLB fan policy and also in accordance with the significant other of Major League player Brett Gardner," Devastayam wrote in a lawsuit, according to the news outlet. "I'm a Yankees fan and also the future wife of Brett Gardner." The Yankees have sought to get the lawsuit thrown out. Before Devastayam was turned away from Yankee Stadium, she tried to sneak into the visitors' clubhouse at Oriole Park at Camden Yards in August to see Gardner, but was subsequently booted from the stadium. Though Devastayam and Gardner, 36, have never met, she has claimed in her lawsuit that the outfielder has hinted that he is interested in her. Devastayam says in the suit that a video of Gardner in the dugout shows that he motions with his hip on the stairs as though he is having sexual intercourse with me, according to NJ.com. She also claimed that Gardner makes a sad face during home games when she does not attend, and that after 3 years of romancing online, she started going to games because I see that Brett desires this. A Twitter account for Devastayam is riddled with references to Gardner. On Valentine's Day, she tweeted, "Happy Valentine's Day, mi amor Gardy at Yankees. Congrats, Gardy, on your renewed deal with Yankees. I look forward to seeing. That's cute.
God bless you. The horde is attacking. The dust bunnies have united, and they have gone for her nose.
It's allergy season, and I'm apparently allergic to crazy bitch. So she said, "Congrats, Gardy, on your renewed deal at Yankees. I look forward to seeing you soon." A tweet from December reads. An October tweet says, "I have never seen you angry at me, Gardy. I will claim you play the role of my husband. That is my first right. My second right is to allow me inside the stadium." During an interview with Devastayam, an NJ.com reporter pointed out that Gardner is married to Jessica Clendenin. Oh, my goodness. "That is not of importance," Devastayam told the news outlet. Devastayam told NJ.com that the league is painting her as a deranged, rambling woman on the loose and arguing that she is a threat to order and safety. But she insists that Gardner wants her around, despite him filing an order of protection and despite the Yankees seeking to ban her from stadium.
See, that's just flirting. The Yankees and Brett Gardner are flirting with her. Why do you people judge her?
Well, she says, you know, when he plays, he signals. They have their own signals, first of all, for pitch type and all that. And then there's another thing called romantically and sexually signaling towards me. That is how our relationship has progressed, because he has started sexually signaling towards me. The Yankees did not immediately respond to a request for comment by the Post on Monday, because they don't want to come out and have to say, bitches be crazy. Look at this crazy broad.
This is a woman that will not accept no. You may say no, but Gardy does not want to dance. She does not hear no.
She doesn't understand rejection at all. It's not even conceivable to her.
And the wife is just a small detail.
That's not of any significance to me. No. He is my future husband.
This is crazy.
Yeah, this woman's out of her mind. Hey guys, you guys sound kind of garbled coming in. How does it sound to you guys?
Sounds fine.
All right.
Yeah, well, I mean, I always sound garbled, but I mean, this time it has nothing to do with the radio.
Yes.
All right. How do I sound? I'm setting myself up, but how do I sound coming in?
Hot. You sound hot coming in, Joe.
Say what?
You sound hot coming in.
Very funny. All right.
Sound like you're coming in hot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, Joe.
So I think that... obviously, all jokes aside, just for a second, she's really, really crazy. She's got some kind of deranged delusion about him. But what's really kind of scary is that it probably took them a while to figure that she was trying to get at him, not just in the way that a fan is like, hey, dude, could you, I want to shake your hand, you know, I think you're cool, or sign this baseball or something. No, she is warm for his form, and she's not going to take no for an answer.
Well, I like the fact that he signals in the dugout with his hips, romantically.
Oh, yeah, she's nuts.
No. I don't know if you grew up playing baseball, but I did. And, you know, they teach you how to romantically signal. That's what they do.
Really?
Yeah, of course. Of course, they get.
So, is that how you hurt your hip because you were grinding so hard when you're standing on the first step of the dugout?
Well, I mean, you got to work up to that. You know, you can't just come out and grind. You got to slowly, you know, little come hither with the hips and everything. So, look, what they teach you the signs for, you know, one is fastball, two is curve and everything. And then there's signs like for stealing base and the various signs you touch the cap, touch the belt. And then they tell you the signs to get it in. I mean, this is just baseball. That's the way it's done.
Hey, you know what? She was seeing the signs to get it in.
She was.
So if you're rubbing your cock against the dugout, what does that mean? Steal a bird?
That means you got itchy balls. It means what? What did he say?
If you're rubbing your cock against the dugout, what does that mean? Steal third?
Oh. No, that's a home run, Joe. You're going home with that. There's a cock waiting for you. You can't delay. You come right home.
I thought that meant ball.
Now, this woman actually does. This woman sounds a little unhinged.
She sounds more than a little unhinged. And what's scary is that, I mean, longtime listeners of our show will remember that, you know, my own mother had schizophrenia. And many a lovely childhood memory was formed having lovely debates with her about whether or not the people on the TV could actually see her. And whether they were sending signals to the communists about what we were watching.
Brett Gardner
but,
was.
Brett Gardner knew everything we watched on television.
Yeah, he did.
Because he was watching from inside the TV.
He was.
Here's the thing, is that if you have somebody like this, it's pretty scary for the object of their desire, no?
Yeah, especially because she's not attractive enough.
Oh, dude.
What?
That's not the issue at all.
Oh, well, I just made it one. Let's be honest.
She could be a friggin' 20. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, but if she's a 20, you're gonna take it for a ride and then find out, oh shit, she's nuts. I have a problem. If she's a 2, you're gonna go, oh, this is a problem. See, that's the thing.
Yeah.
See, looks will get you in the door. Looks will always get you in the door. Looks will get you the dick rub to steal home.
Is that what I needed?
Yeah. No, I mean, they got it. It's a, she's a problem. All right. Thank you, Pip.
Of course. Any time. And I've been watching you on Facebook, and I see you sexually signaling towards me.
There it is.
Rubbing his cock against the table.
Grabbing it.
But he does all the time. He always blames us for the text issues, but it's all that, you know, vigorous rubbing.
What's that static? What? It's me. It's me beating one off. That's what that static is.
That's what it is.
Yes. You guys have figured it out. Pornhub. They're here to solve problems. That's what I love about Pornhub. You know, Italy's been on lockdown since before we were. We're not technically on lockdown. We have guidelines. We're getting close to lockdown, but we have guidelines. Italy is on lockdown. Well, Italians can receive free premium porn content from Pornhub. They announced that they'll open their vaults of the video of the entire country. Imagine that, like, just a big vault. Look at it. Is that gold? No, it's porn.
It's porn. Miles and miles of beautiful porn.
It's Linda Lovelace. It's Jenna Jameson. It's Ron Jeremy. And Ron Jeremy. And Ron Jeremy. We get it. It's Ron Jeremy.
For people that want to take matters into their own hands, it's the treasure trove of you porn.
Yes.
Just in time for everybody to be working from home.
Absolutely. Well, that's the problem. Scram. Shouldn't you guys not be social distancing? Go out. We have premium porn now. The adult website said that the quarantined web surfers can get free premium service while the site will donate money to help the European nation get through their hard times. Pornhub is donating its March proceeds from Model Hub to support Italy during this unfortunate time. Italy will also have free access to Pornhub Premium throughout the month. So the regular free shit, if that's not getting it done for you, you get the premium.
Forza, this is incredibly patriotic.
I think so. What about us? Forza Italia, we love you. Pornhub also recently rolled out coronavirus theme porn on their site, including one of a healthcare worker in a hazmat suit. Look at you, looking all orangey and fluffy and all. Take those layers off. I have 20 minutes.
Well, I find hazmat suits to be incredibly erotic, but I thought that was my own particular taste.
And I find them to be necessary when you're around.
How did she service the guy? Cut a hole in his H91 mask?
What?
How did she service the guy? Cut a hole in a mask?
Oh, jeez. Is anybody interested in coronavirus porn?
No.
Look at you. No. No, we're not.
I'm glad that I'm home and you can't see me raising my hand.
look at you looking all infected and all coughing all over. Get some of that mucus on this cock, honey. Come on. Don't waste it. You having trouble breathing? Yeah. No, that's not a respirator. It's a cock. Suck on this.
Oh, ventilator size.
Oh, yeah. I love to bang them right before they die. What? Just
yeah. Cough on this.
Cough on this. Yeah. Lube it up. Baby, I'm hot.
Sore throat, honey.
I'm hot. You want to fuck? No, I have a fever. I'm fucking hot. Seriously.
Yeah, right.
Coronavirus porn. I've said this before, and I'm going to say it again. The Earth is done with us. It's had enough. Look what we're doing. The Earth whips a global pandemic at us, and you got a porn company to go, we can fuck to this.
Yeah, exactly. I'm going to destroy humanity with this virus. They're jerking off to it.
You just see God up there throwing up his arms. I got nothing. I got what the Egyptians, I gave them locusts, pharaohs. They were scared. They were, you know, locusts and crickets and firstborn dead. These people, I give a pandemic that's wiping everybody out, and they're getting horny. What's wrong with us?
I would kill them all, but I don't want them up here with me.
you just see God and the devil arguing. No, you take him. No, you take him.
Right. The red phone's ringing. Hold on. Really? Don't I even think about it? Really? Really? It's called hell, stupid. It's called hell. All right? That's why you're down there.
Wow. We will get it all. You know what? I bet if Pornhub was listening, my little story of a battling of the stomach issues could be a porn.
Oh, yeah. Well, that, you know, stomach virus porn is really hot.
Love stomach virus. It's messy. It's messy, but it's good.
That's so people to that.
Yeah. Bring that dirty butt over here. No, don't you clean it. We can't afford to lose the toilet paper.
Just turn down a tarp and have it. Oh,
let's go. Poop it on me, baby. Yes, another enchilada, please.
Yeah.
Thank God.
Why are your toes curling? Because my ass is curling, too, because I'm afraid what's going to happen. I'm all clenched up.
Oh, well, I have to tell you that one of the most disgusting, horrific things I've ever seen, ever, on the internet was a little vignette called Fecal Japan.
Fecal Japan?
Yeah.
Is that Godzilla? No, it's a turd.
It was the most horrible thing I've ever seen.
Go on.
It's so nauseating. I'm afraid to even describe it to you.
Go on.
But how did you wind up there? You don't wind up there looking for a cake recipe, except if it's for brownies.
Or for Anthony Cumia.
No, actually.
Joe, you forgot that she poisoned your pal?
Oh, yeah. I
said, Joe, you forgot that she poisoned your pal with a birthday cake?
Yeah.
That's why I have to be isolated, because I bring the festival wherever I go.
Yeah, how did you get to Fecal Japan?
It was on a website called stupid.com.
Oh, well, they had the right person.
And no, I did not find this on my own. A friend of mine found this,
sure,
and said, I don't know if you can handle this, but this is the most disgusting thing I've ever seen. You have to see this.
You can't handle the poop.
And I cannot. I could not. It's horrible. There's a girl in a bathtub.
Oh, yeah.
She's the Japan part of this.
Yeah. Oh, she's representing the whole nation. One woman. Okay.
God, I hope not. But so she's contorted in a way so that she's on her back, but her butt is way in the air.
Okay.
And apparently she ate at the same taco place as...
Oh, no.
Yeah, you see where this is going?
Oh.
Yeah, she was a shit fountain.
Okay.
Exactly.
Okay. All right, this isn't the Golden Corral. Yeah, we shan't talk about the fudge fountain. Nobody's dipping their marshmallows in this.
Well, that's what I'm trying to tell you.
Okay.
It was the most nauseating thing I have ever seen.
Okay. Yeah, we got it. We got it. We'll move on. Thank you.
Okay.
Conspiracy Wow. I remember we were like on Facebook Live. I'm like, we can't do that now. Anyway. Anyway, conspiracy theorist Alex Jones is hawking silver-infused toothpaste he falsely claims has the power to kill the new coronavirus. The InfoWars founder claims the product has been verified by federal officials, despite there being no known FDA-approved medicine or vaccine able to prevent or treat COVID-19. The patented nano silver we have, the Pentagon, has come out and documented, and Homeland Security said this stuff kills the whole SARS corona family at point-blank range, Joe said on his talk program Tuesday, the night before he was arrested while driving intoxicated. Aw. Anyway.
Aw.
The Super Silver Whitening Toothpaste has been discounted from $19.95 a tube to $9.95 a tube, despite all hell breaking loose, Jones said. The Food and Drug Administration said that colloidal silver, also known as nano silver, can treat any disease or condition. Oh, can't. Excuse me. Can't. It can't treat any disease or condition. The Food and Drug Administration said that colloidal silver, also known as nanosilver, can't treat any disease or condition. Products that contain colloidal silver can be dangerous to one's health, even causing serious side effects, the Department of Health and Human Services found. It has been added to a list of products the FDA and Federal Trade Commission says are being erroneously sold to prevent or treat COVID-19. Warning letters were issued to companies selling products, including to televangelist Jim Baker, for falsely peddling a silver solution as a reliable coronavirus treatment. The FDA didn't immediately respond to a request for comment about Jim's claims. It's not the first time he spread falsehoods. All right. You guys think it works? Is the government just trying to stop the man?
No.
No, absolutely not.
No, I don't think it works either. I do. I think he's taking advantage. I mean, listen, if the fans that he has left are really idiots at this point. But, I mean, you know, you're getting people's hopes up, and then you're just going to poison them.
Yeah, really. I mean, super silver toothpaste, it's not something that I really want to brush with.
Well, do you remember the story about the guy who looked like Papa Smurf because he used that colloidal silver every day, and it literally turned him blue?
No.
I think so, yeah. I think we did a story on that.
Oh.
We did.
Did we? Was it like Savage Medicine or something?
Years ago. About 5 years ago.
The guy was like cobalt blue.
Oh.
Uh-oh. There he goes.
There goes Joe. I'll tell you what, I've never been more turned on. Keep choking, Joe. I'm almost there.
I got paperwork.
I've got paperwork. I don't even know what the hell that means.
I got paperwork?
I got actually a paperwork saying that I don't have coronavirus.
Oh. Yeah, but yeah, you got it from Alex Jones.
Yeah.
And he's turning blue,
people,
not from the cough.
Is it wrong that I secretly hope his fans take the toothpaste? Is that wrong?
Well, you know, it is a Darwin Award waiting to happen.
It really is. I mean, Alex Jones, it's a shame they caught him drunk driving. I really wish a tree would have caught him. He just needs to go away.
Yeah.
Well, I think that you were hitting on this earlier. I think that Mother Nature has had it with humanity and is trying to, like, kick us off the planet in any way, shape, or form. And, it, you know, with help like him trying to get rid of the other vermin, you know, it's probably going to work.
We can only hope. All right.
Yes.
So let's take our last break of the evening and then come back with a brand new Scamming Scammer, shall we?
Yeah.
Yes.
All right. Short break. We'll be right back.